2 of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Sheriff Tin Smith had been right about the town foreman of posse. They hadn't lost any time. Spud Hooker was taking charge. I was kind of surprised to see that Tom Leverett was along. But I figured he and Hooker sort of joined forces for the time being.
How is he, Ponsett?
Well, he passed out a few minutes ago. Maybe it's just as well. At least he's getting some rest.
Yeah, well, we're going after Falk. The other boys are waiting behind the mercantile.
Looks like you've got quite a gang.
I ain't got no objections to having you go along, too. Not that we need you, you understand?
Yeah.
Well, you coming?
Well, I had a little talk with the sheriff just before he lost consciousness. He seemed to think that taking out a posse after Falk wasn't such a good idea.
What's he want us to do, let him go scot-free?
No. No, Sheriff Tin Smith sort of suggested maybe one or two men would have a better chance of catching him. They can make faster time, maybe sneak up on Falk unaware.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's okay with me. You going to be one of the boys who goes after him, Ponsett?
Well, I haven't exactly made up my mind.
You better make it up fast or I'll take somebody else.
Oh, I see. Well, in that case, I... Say, your name's Leverett, isn't it?
That's right, Mr. Ponsett. Tom Leverett.
Mm-hmm. You want to ride along with me?
Why, sure.
Wait a minute here. I thought you said one or two men.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Well, we don't need Leverett, then.
Well, I tell you, I sort of figured maybe you ought to stay in town, Hooker. So if Tom and I get in trouble, well, you could bring the posse out later.
You're trying to make a fool out of me, Ponsett?
No, I'm not.
Everybody knows I'm twice the man Leverett is. I can ride better and shoot faster and outfight him 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
You want the credit for catching Falk yourself, don't you? Well, it ain't going to work out that way. Come on, boy. I'll find Falk myself and I'll bring him in alone. That's all right.
Well, Tom, let's go, huh? Falk's trail headed west, up toward Eagle Mountain. And the moon was out, sort of a half moon, but it gave us enough light so we could follow the hoof prints Falk's horse had left. Along about midnight, we spotted another trail, fresher. It couldn't have been more than a couple minutes old. It cut in from one side and then went on ahead in the same direction Falk was riding. You see that, Tom?
Yeah. Looks like Spud Hooker took a shortcut.
Yeah.
You reckon he'll beat us to him?
Oh, you never know. Never know. If he does, he might save us some grief, wouldn't he, huh?
You're not anxious to tangle with Falk, are you, Mr. Ponsett?
No, I'm not anxious to tangle with anybody, Tom.
But I thought, well, you brought in other outlaws before.
Oh, some. Not as many as folks think, but I've never enjoyed tangling with any of them.
Why'd you pick me? Spud's right. He is twice the man I am.
That shooting, maybe, yeah. But there's more to trailing a killer than being able to shoot. You know, lots of times it's more important for a man to know when not to shoot, you know.
Huh?
Yeah. Fellow's itching to pull a trigger like Spud. Well, he's apt to pull it too soon. And, hey, look at that. The moon's going down.
Yeah.
We might as well get some shut-eye. Whoa, boy. Oscar.
He
couldn't see the trail anyway.
Spud won't be stopping for sleep.
No, don't suppose he will. That's another reason I picked you. I kind of figured he'd want to keep pushing on all night. Guy, along about this time, I just get tired. As soon as the morning sun began gray in the sky, we started off again. Falk's trail was winding up the side of Eagle Mountain now. It was pretty hard riding. Tom didn't complain, even though I could see he wasn't used to it. Every once in a while, he almost slid out of his saddle, but somehow he managed to hang on. About noon, we reached Little Creek, and Falk's trail gave out. The other trail, the one we figured was Hooker's, it sort of milled around in all directions, then went off on a tangent. And we climbed out from our horses and got a drink of water. It tastes good, doesn't it?
Yes, sure does.
You ever been out this way before, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Not for the last couple of years, though.
Mm-hmm. Any cabins around, place a man could hide out?
Well, not that I remember. You think we're getting close to him?
Well, he could have gone on using the creek to cover his trail, but he'd have to stop pretty soon.
Oh?
Oh, yeah. A man can't keep riding forever, even Dink Falk. So far, we haven't seen any signs that he made camp, you see.
That's so. Giant Cave.
Hmm?
He might be there, Britt. It's not more than a mile away due south.
Giant Cave.
Well, you've heard of it, ain't you?
No. No, I don't think I have.
Well, it'd be a perfect spot for a man to hole up. Nobody knows for certain just how far back into the mountain the cave really goes. Some scientific fellas tried to explore it last summer, but, well, their lanterns gave out before they come to the end.
Well, it sounds like something we ought to see even if Falk isn't there. Come on, let's go and have a look.
That's the entrance there, Britt, beside that slab of yellow rock.
Uh-huh.
I don't see any sign of Falk's trail. I guess he could have come up from the other side, don't
you? Yeah, that's what he must have done.
Huh?
That pony over yonder. That clump of bushes grazing.
Oh, yeah, I see him.
Easy, Sorrel. Scott. Easy, whoa, boy.
You know, Jake Watson said Falk stole a sorrel when he made his getaway.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'd better close in on foot. We tethered our horses on a couple of spruce saplings, moved into the cave entrance. It wasn't a very big hole. We had to sort of bend over and crawl through it. But the room on the other side, it must have been 100 feet long, 50 feet wide. The walls were sheer rock, sort of rainbow-colored, so smooth you'd have thought somebody had been polishing them. And then the light behind us got down to a pinpoint.
He wouldn't be hiding here in the dark, would he, Britt?
Maybe. He heard us coming.
Shh. Somebody up ahead.
Yeah. You got your gun ready?
Uh-huh.
Now, don't use it unless you're pretty sure of hitting something. If we start shooting, it'll just help his aim.
Okay.
All right, now back up against the wall here behind you.
Falk! We know you're in here, Falk. You go any further, you'll get lost. You'll never find your way out. Hey, you hear me, Falk? You're wasting lead. You can't see us. We know that.
You can't see me neither.
We don't have to. You've got to come out sooner or later, and we'll be waiting. All right, we're going to leave you now, Falk. We're going outside and wait.
Hey, where you are?
You giving up?
No, I ain't. And I ain't alone.
What?
I got somebody with me. Friend of yours, I reckon. We're coming out together. And if you try to stop me, I'll kill him.
What's he talking about?
He ain't lying, Brett. It's me, Spud Hooker.
Spud?
I caught up with him last night, but he got the draw on me. Hold your fire, Brett. He means what he says. He'll kill me if you don't hold your fire. You gotta do what he told you, but you gotta.
All right, Bob, come on.
Start backing up towards the entrance. I don't hear you moving.
Britt, please.
All right, let's go, Tom. We backed out into the daylight, Tom and me, and waited for them. About a minute later, Spud Hooker marched through the mouth of the cave. Half scared to death.
Dink Falk was right behind him, holding a .45 aimed at the small of Spud's back. I was pretty sure he wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger either. Sheriff Tinsmith was right. He's just a wildcat killer. He had that stampede look in his eyes as he stood there blinking against the sun. Same kind of a look you see in a steer when the herd's shoving him along. You can't stop or be trampled to death.
Hang off your guns, both of you. Take them off or I'll fix your friend here.
Falk gave Spud a shove with his gun and he jumped forward. There was an opening now between him and Falk. The next thing I knew, Tom dived forward.
Get out of Spud!
Tom tackled Spud and he rolled over. The bullet missed him, but Tom was in range and he took it. Falk aimed to fire again and I managed to get my gun out. Bullet hit his thigh and spun him around. Then his leg buckled and he fell face down. He hadn't let go of the pistol yet. He started to bring it up. Drop it, Falk! For a second, his finger went right on squeezing the trigger, but nah, he just didn't have the strength. Tom? Tom, you all right?
Sure. Yeah, it's hardly bleeding.
I should have let Falk alone. I should have let you handle him, Britt.
Well, I don't know. Looks to me like Tom did most of the handling around here. I mean, if it hadn't been for him,
yeah.
You know, it's...
I guess I had you figured wrong, Tom. I never thought you'd be the one to save me, but...
I wasn't saving you, Spud.
Huh?
I don't like you. I never did. And nothing's going to change that.
Then why?
I like Ellen. I like her a lot, but... Well, she's in love with you. If you got yourself killed, it would just hurt her and wouldn't do me no good.
Ellen tell you she's in love with me?
She didn't have to.
And she finds out what happened today.
She ain't gonna find out.
I'm gonna tell her. I'm gonna tell her myself.
I don't want her to know.
It's for me to decide.
Now listen here, Spud Hooker.
You do the listening for a change.
No,
I thought
you...
I taught you a lesson last night, but it looks like...
Now, hold on. Now, I think we ought to get Tom to a doctor, don't you? If we don't, Ellen won't have no way of choosing him, even if she wanted to. Now, come on, Spud. Come on, huh? Give me a hand. Now, we tied Falk onto the back of his pony and started off for town. I sure didn't know what Ellen was going to do about Spud and Tom. Oh, you never know what a woman's going to do when it comes to, you know, falling in love and marrying and all that sort of thing. But I did know one thing. That picking Tom to go along with me, I had been a pretty good choice. Ellen probably could do a whole lot worse, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, the tradition of religious freedom and of religious worship in America goes back to the very founding of our country. So, in these days of world crisis, when our nation and all its citizens need spiritual strength and guidance, all of us should think again of what religion means to us and to our country. For it's religious faith that makes our way of life possible. During November, people of many faiths are joining in a great Religion in American Life campaign. So, whatever your faith may be, you are asked to join in this campaign. Be sure to attend and support the church or synagogue of your choice. And if you have children, by all means, light their life with faith. Bring them to worship this week. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Frank Gerstle, Robert Griffin, Forrest Lewis, and Sam Edwards. Special music for this program was by Basil Eddy, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And incidentally, a great many of our friends have written in to thank us for putting the six-shooter on the air. And a surprising number of letters have requested the name of the theme you are listening to right now and where it might be obtained. Well, we're sorry, but it is music that has been recorded exclusively for broadcast and is therefore not available for home use. But we are grateful nonetheless to all of you who have written. Your kind letters are always welcome. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Tonight, hear Celeste Holm in the NBC Star Playhouse on the NBC Radio Network.